we have entitled our devotion tonight, Handling the Enigmas and Hardships of Life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 9 to 17. Life presents us situations and circumstances that often defy simpler explanation. And our finite mind often cannot decipher the intricacies of matters at hand. And we are intrigued, perplexed, and puzzled for want of answers. And Solomon will show us in this section of our text the wisdom needful to handle or for handling such enigmas of life, such mind-boggling, difficult to explain situations. He reminds us of some of these enigmas that is happening around us. He says, why is the wicked prosperous? Is there no justice? Why does God allow such wickedness to continue? Why does God not know? And how is it that the innocent is brought to misery? Is there no recourse with God? So as we think of these injustices, difficult situations of life, you find oftentimes it affects the well-being of earthlings. And the World Mental Health Day in 1992 initiated the World Federation by the World Federation for Mental Health study to promote mental health. And the theme that was chosen in this article that I saw was their 20th anniversary. And it is highlighted that depression was chosen as the main theme. And it is described, it says here, depression can affect anyone and it is one of the most widespread illnesses, often coexisting with other serious illnesses. And according to the World Health Organization, unipolar depressive disorders were ranked as the third leading cause of the global burden of disease in 2004 and were moved into the first place by 2030. Indeed, there are situations that goes on in life that we cannot understand. And oftentimes we ponder about it and we let these thoughts go round and round, you know, in our mind circling without an answer. And suddenly we say, snapped. Right? This person just lose a hold of himself or herself. So this 2012 depression package, as it were, was intended to provide information about depression, how it is a treatable illness, and to spread that recovery is possible and achievable. Well, then they provide information. They said that in developed countries, in middle and lower income countries, it is these countries that need this basic information for their national and local publicity campaigns to help their people. And he says, the report says, among the developed nations, the current economic downturn has resulted in increased unemployment, increased debts, increased insecurity, resulting also in increasing incidence of depression among the population. for middle to low income countries, public education on mental health is often inadequate due to limited resources. And he tells us that depression is a significant contributor to the global burden of disease. And he says that it affects people in all communities across the world. And today, or it is said in the 2012, that depression is estimated to affect 350 million people. Well, that's a lot of people. And the survey conducted in 17 countries found that on average, 1 in 20 people reported having an episode of depression in the previous year. And depressive disorders, it is said, often start at a young age, and they reduce people's function and often are recurring. So for these reasons, depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide in terms of total years lost due to disability. And the demand for curbing depression and other mental health conditions is on the rise globally. And that's why this report. What is depression? Well, it is commonly a common mental disorder that presents depressed moods, loss of interest of pleasure, decreased energy, feelings of guilt, low self-worth, disturbed sleep or appetite, poor concentration. And depression often comes with symptoms of anxiety and often are chronic and recurrent, and it robs a person of the ability to do his or her everyday responsibilities. And at its worst, the report says, it leads to suicide. It is reported almost 1 million lives are lost yearly due to suicide, which translates to 3,000 suicide deaths every day. For every person who completes a suicide, 20 or more may attempt to end his or her life. And so this report says it is real. And it is an illness of the brain, usually requires some form of treatment. And here it's given to us, very interesting, later we'll tie it to our text. Okay, some form of exercise daily. Exercise is good for both physical and mental health. Establishing regular exercise routine will help maintain healthy weight, reducing stress levels, important for someone with depression. Try to eat a healthy diet, balanced diet every day, a healthy diet which includes whole grains, fresh fruits, vegetables, protein, is low in fat, it will keep your body healthy. There are many relaxation techniques to lower your stress, including deep breathing, which can help depression. Techniques that is used around the world that is low cost to lower stress. Maintain healthy sleep habits as much as possible. Set up a regular routine for bedtime and morning to be sure that you get enough sleep, but not too much sleep. Avoid and reduce stress. Stress both at work and home can increase your feelings of depression. It's important to avoid stress in your daily life. Keep your working hours predictable and manageable. Openly communicate with family members and loved ones about what is going on in your life to foster better relationship and elicit their support. Curtail alcohol or substance use or abuse. Use of these substances may worsen your symptoms of depression or interfere with your prescribed medications. Create a daily routine. Organize and plan your day to manage the many daily life tasks that you have to do. Create and maintain a monthly calendar. Be patient with yourself. For someone with depression, even the smallest task can seem impossible. And this is very true. And we see this as a common phenomenon here in our midst, amongst our people. And so, what is the solution? Well, Solomon provides us three thoughts to handle the enigmas and hardships of life? The three thoughts are this. Fear God, from verse 9 to 14. Enjoy the fruit of your labor, verse 15. And be contented with having no answers, verses 16 to 17. Three things that the Lord wants you to consider. So Solomon begins in verse 9. He says, all this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. So he's making a number of observations of men in various situations in life, in this fallen world. And he tells us that things do not usually add up. He tells us of how superiors seeking to take advantage of their workers. So if you are a worker and, you know, your superior perhaps is withholding your pay, delaying your pay and, you know, asking you to work long hours, then you find yourself being treated harshly. This employer's situations for the employee to become hostile, cruel environments. And he observed how badly this oppressed are hurt. So he says, it's not new. These are things that you observe under the sun. And he says, and I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This is also vanity. So he's saying to us that there are those people who, you know, seem to prosper in life. You will see them, you know, perhaps in the limelight of life, and you observe their pomp, you observe their rigors, you observe, you know, how successful perhaps they are. The next thing you know, they are gone. Solomon says they go to the place of the holy. This refers to the time when life ends for them. A place of judgment. A time when, you know, they could not carry on their life anymore, as he said in chapter 3, verse 16. Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. So he's saying here that there are people in this life that live like gods, but they died like men. And soon they were forgotten like beasts. That's what one commentator who observed very well. David in the Psalms observed the same thing. He says that I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. You see that there are transitions. And he tells us, giving us his thoughts to the matter. He says that this is emptiness. You know, this kind of life seems so meaningless. Why do you want to make the life of another person miserable? At the end, you are gone. Are you any better than the other person? So he is jotting us to think and to consider about life. And that is something very important. Right? As we go through life, you know, as you age through life, you said that, you know, you begin to understand life when you reach a certain age. And when you reach a certain age, you know, you have seen everything in life, as it were. There's nothing that you have not seen. Nothing alarms you anymore. Well, Solomon is reaching that stage of his life where, endowed with the wisdom of God, he's beginning to try to piece together those wisdom that God has given to him so that he can pass to us some understanding so that we can better run our lives. We are on that journey. We are not there yet. But he tells us that there's something that he can share with us. So verse 11, it says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." So he tells us that, in this world, there's so much injustices, oppression that is allowed to go on. And you look at it, no end to it. You get tired just by observing, reading, seeing all that is going on around him. And you ask this question, is there no justice? If God is just, then why doesn't he swiftly execute judgment? Have you had people talk to you like that before? I'm sure we must have. There are many who just cannot get past these conundrums of life. And they get disappointed, and they get depressed often. Oftentimes they get discouraged, you know, and they want to give up on life. Is God powerless? Can he not execute judgment? If he can, why doesn't he? Oftentimes you see this kind of question hurled at us. Maybe he doesn't care about the plight of his suffering people. Have you heard that kind of an argument? I have. And so Solomon tells us, wisdom is that the godly will learn his fear, the fear of God, to see that God is long-suffering. Judgment doesn't come, doesn't mean that judgment will not come. Even when you do not see the coming of judgment, it does not mean that God, things are running out of control. The Lord wants you to see, in the fullness of time, judgment will come. And that is why we are taking time to understand the mind of God. If you have been reading through the Bible, you would be able to see, right, through the various apples of human history, right, God allows things to happen, but it will always end with a judgment. Right. Wickedness of men doesn't go on forever. How so? Well, you see this in human history. From God's point of view, right, you saw, and one good example is the long-suffering of God in the days of Noah. Before God judged the world with a global flood, the Bible tells us that the people were wicked, disobedient. But Noah was preparing the ark. The Bible tells us how man's wickedness was so great, but judgment came. Judgment came in a global flood. Judgment came when God dispersed man at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10, 11. Judgment came when fire and brimstone came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord tells us that when God does not do anything, it doesn't mean that God will not do anything. We have to trust God as the people of God to continue to fear God. To fear God means to continue to trust him, to obey him, to live for him. This was what Noah did in his life. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah believed God. This was a man who had encountered God and knew that God meant every word he said and said every word he meant. So the Bible says that he was moved with fear. The fear of God was in his heart. God moved Noah to respond to his warning by putting his fear in Noah's heart. And fear is not a negative emotion that God gave to him. It was a wake-up call. It's like a bell. You know, suddenly someone takes a, you know, like an alarm clock or takes a bell and, you know, sound it right in front of you. And you hear the loud gong, and, you know, wow, you wake up and, you know, you continue to hear the reverberations in your mind, in your head. A wake-up call. For Noah, it was a wake-up call. God's fear came into him, and it stirred him into life to flee into the safety of God for the danger that was approaching him. And it provoked him, the Bible says, to prepare an ark to the saving of his house. So Noah was moved with fear, the Bible says, because he saw wickedness in the world all around him. Every imagination of the thoughts of men was only evil continually. Now, in our time, the Lord tells us that a judgment is going to come too. So what did Noah do? The Bible says that by building the ark, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The word condemn means to judge against, to judge worthy of punishment. So what did Noah do? He submitted to God and he set himself as an example against the evil and the wicked in his generation who refused God's truth. So his obedience to God meant that he built the ark. He prepared his family against the judgment to come. Against the mockers, against the scoffers, by their unbelief. So by the way he lived his life, he was a witness against the world. That was how he feared God. He walked with God. This was a responsible response that Noah gave to the privilege that God gave to him as his witness. And so God condemned the world through Noah's preparation. He built the ark. He prepared his family. He preached to the world. He lived a life of righteousness. Not sinlessness, but in constant submission to God. He surrendered his life to God. More than 100 years, he lived that life while he built that ark. No question asked. The Bible tells us that he executed the command of God like clockwork. The world today focuses its efforts on building bigger barns, taller buildings. You tear down one, you build up another. But the Bible tells us that there is a judgment coming. God is going to judge the world by a flood of fire, Peter tells us. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, there is that fear of God in the heart of Noah. There is a fear of God that must be placed in the hearts of God's people. So Solomon tells us in his text, he says, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. And he says, that I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So he gave us that solution, you know. Carry on and do your duties in life. Continue to walk with God. Continue to obey his commandments. Continue to do what is right in the sight of God. And be prepared to face the consequences. Meaning that, you know, you want to walk right with God, Noah had to be rejected by the whole world. You know, the whole world mocked at him. But he was not perturbed. He was able to stand strong. If you have the fear of God in your heart, you may be oppressed in your workplace. You may face difficulty in your workplace. But you will continue to tarry with God. You will continue to seek God and wait upon God. You will continue to show faith in God, to continue to follow Him. This is what we must do. And he tells us that, we need to know where we are going. In other words, if we are going to our heavenly place, then let's seek the heavenly rewards. Right? Let's not seek for any temporal gain that ultimately you know you will lose out. The man who had the pomp, you know, of life on earth seemed to have everything. But when he's gone, he's dead, he's forgotten. He's consigned like a beast to nothingness. Second thought, he tells us, enjoy the fruit of your labor. If God were to allow you, right, we said that we work in order that we may eat. So, we do our best to do our work. So, all of us have our 24-hour day. We need our 8-hour sleep. And then we have that remaining hours that we have? Well, the Lord says, do your part. Do your work. And then enjoy the fruit of your labor, he tells us. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. Then I commended mirth, he says, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. And so he tells us that, you know, do not become so depressed because you see the injustices of this world that it causes you to stop doing what you ought to do. Right? Paul puts it in a very well. He says, now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. With quietness they work and eat their own bread. If you have to humble yourself to do your work, you know, nothing much to, in the sense that, you know, you say no glory in that work. I just do it. Well, be happy that you have a work to do. And then enjoy the fruit of the reward that God gives to you. You see? Then Paul says, then, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't forget the people around you also. Right? Enjoy the fruit of your labor. Well, do something to good also to the people around you. Enjoy the pleasures that come as reward for the work that you do. And so he tells us, this is how we are to handle the enigmas and hardships of life. So sometimes, you know, we would go and we would say, pamper ourselves. I go and, you know, you like to eat something, you go and you just get it and enjoy it, whatever it may be. You know, out of the fruit of your labor, you are entitled to this. And then the third thought, be contented with having no answers, verses 16 to 17. Be willing to say you have no answer to this enigmas of life. To be willing to rest content without an answer. Solomon endeavored, he says, to seek diligently answers to life's enigmas and was contented to realize that he doesn't know. It is beyond his understanding and reach, humanly speaking. And he's willing to rest contented with having no answers. He says, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man may think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. We are not discouraged from seeking and searching out to understand the works of God. But we must stop short where God provides no answer for us in his word. There are some things that we just don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law. So what do we know? Well, we know that the Lord is coming again. And we know that when the Lord comes, He will give us His reward. And we know that as sure as He came the first time, 2,000 years ago, it will be that sure that He will come a second time. And whatever you do in this life has an impact on the life to come. This we know, you see. And says, so He tells us, there is that knowledge that is revealed to men. But there are those things that He doesn't know. So the Lord tells us that let us be willing to realize our limitation. We can seek. And oftentimes we pride ourselves for having a good mind. We seem to be able to think through, right, like a chess player. You calculate every move, you know, and say, like that. But after that, you get very exhausted. You say, which one is it? You know, you don't know which one. Right? So here, Solomon is saying that be willing to rest in the providence of God. Jesus says, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's saying to us that as a Christian, as a believer, don't expect that there will not be problems in life. In fact, you know that for the believer, you may be plagued with more problems than any other person. But God will also give you that strength, that power to overcome. So Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Many things we don't understand in life. Those things that we don't know, bring it to the Lord and leave it with the Lord. Then, you know, go to sleep. This is the solution that Solomon found to handle the enigmas and the hardships of life. Fear God, enjoy the fruit of your labor, be contented with having no answers. May the Lord help us to be able to put this into practice, and then to be able to help the people around us. As we said, by 2030, it's going to be the worst disease. It's called a disease that would plague the world. And here now, we are already seeing so many cases. May God be merciful to protect, preserve His people for His own namesake. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in giving to us wisdom how we ought to live our life. Lord, may Thou be gracious to bless us with Thy wisdom so that we may know how to walk with Thee in Thy fear. Lord, may Thou give us rest in our souls as we rest in Thee, in Thy strength. May Thou endow us
so that we may find peace and joy in this earthly sojourn. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.